Thanks so much for being with us. Derek Hansen in for Joel Heitkamp on the News and Views Radio Network from CBS News. He's a retired colonel from the U.S. Army. Has a lot of things going on. We'll go through his resume here in just a bit. But Dr. Jeff McCausland is with us here on News and Views. Thank you, Dr. McCausland. Thanks so much for being with us on what's really been a tough week, right?
No doubt about it, Derek. And that's actually how President Biden opened his remarks yesterday, saying it was a tough day. We lost 13 soldiers and Marines in a blast there at Kabul International Airport. 100 Afghans were killed as well. As we continue this evacuation, which has now reached the movement of over 100,000 people out of Kabul since it began about 12 days ago, and is still targeted to be completed by next Tuesday, the 31st of August.
Is that date, was that a mistake? I mean, there's been a lot of second guessing on that, you know, making that date of August 31st. I mean, is there a point where we should have said as a country, as the leadership, as this administration said, listen, we'll get out of there when we're ready to get out of there?
Well, of course, Mr. Biden was somewhat constrained by the fact that when he arrived, there was an agreement that had been signed by the Trump administration that said, hey, we're going to withdraw. He had pulled down, the Trump administration had reduced our forces to 2,500 and actually set a target date of 1 May and that we'll be out by 1 May. So that was the agreement the United States and that administration had signed on behalf of the United States when they arrived. They inherited that particular agreement, which I think to a degree at least boxed them in. Biden announced unilaterally that he was going to extend that some period of time. Initially, September 11th was the target date. I think that was poor political optics, and they suddenly realized that was a bad idea and moved it back to 31 August. But all that, those things were, I think, done based on one assumption which drove the whole train for what has occurred. And that assumption was based on the consensus intelligence that the Afghan government and the military would survive for a year to 18 months following whatever time the United States withdrew. And that luxury of time would allow us to do it in a somewhat methodical fashion beginning then in April. And really, the U.S. military did a pretty phenomenal job in withdrawing forces, moving out equipment, closing down bases. And from the start of that, around the middle of April, when the president gave that speech, by the end of July, middle of July, they were pretty well done. About 95% of all our forces were out of the country. But then as we get to the latter part of July and we see this offensive by the Taliban unfolding, the military and the Afghan government both collapsed. And suddenly we were confronted with this massive withdrawal to the airport and the evacuation we're in right now.
You know, it's an awful analogy because it sometimes comes off as insensitive, but it really kind of turned into a house of cards, right? Where it looked like it was pretty good. And then that one card just kind of fell at the end there. And it really leads to a lot of second guessing, unfortunately. And we've all done it.
There's no doubt about it. And I think what has to occur is we have to divorce the decision, the policy decision to withdraw. And polls will suggest 70% of the American public believes we should end this particular war, and divorce that from the actual plan for the withdrawal. And in that particular case, I think there is a certain amount of criticism that you can levy against the Biden administration, no doubt about it. And we'll hear endless congressional hearings examining what happened in the aftermath. What saddens me a bit is as we view this evacuation occurring, as we view the loss of life in the last couple of days, that we've kind of, in some quarters, made this into a political football to score points against either side, depending on which side you're on, as opposed to saying, no, this is a time for unity of purpose, unity of the nation, take care of those Americans coming out, take care of those brave soldiers, Marines that have done this evacuation. That's what we focus on. We'll have time later on to examine the details of what occurred and what should have occurred and do an accountability exercise. But right now, let's focus on what's happened.
Again, Dr. Jeff McCausland with us, CBS News, a retired colonel from the U.S. Army. And you look at it, too. I think it's funny you say that because I have a lot of people my father's age. He's a Vietnam vet from the Navy. And, you know, and I know a lot of his friends, whatever, no matter what side of the aisle they normally vote on, they're frustrated. It brings back way too many bad memories for them, if you know what I'm getting at. And it's one of these things where it's not so much you question the madness of getting out there. It's just the method. And that's kind of what it has really come down to in this whole thing.
Yeah. And there's certainly a certain amount of criticism. You know, should you have kept Bagram open for a longer period of time? Should you have solicited other exit routes to review some paths through Kyrgyzstan, for example? Clearly, once the Trump administration had signed that agreement in February of 2020, they should have begun immediately to accelerate, at least to a degree, quietly, the special immigrant visa process whereby Afghans who had worked for us could depart the country. But in fact, they didn't accelerate it. They basically shut it down. And from March of 2020 until the Trump administration departed in January 2021, there was not one single special immigrant visa process for an Afghan. Now, the Biden administration should have picked up that ball and expanded that process as well as soon as they arrived. But there are a host of things like that that we should have done and made this much more efficient and not nearly as a disaster as a process that has unfolded.
Is it too late to show a force and bring more troops in there to get this done and done correctly? I mean, and forget about any deadlines? I mean, I know there are deadlines and there are certainly things that the Trump administration put forth, but can President Biden just squash that and say, listen, the rules have changed because of what happened with these suicide bombings? Because I think that's where, no matter what people think of politically, that's where many of the Americans are right now on this.
He could do that. But I mean, right now, you're in a military sense, you're in a pretty difficult tactical spot. The only piece of terrain you control in Afghanistan is that airport. That airport happens to be on the edge of Kabul, which has grown enormously in the last 20 years, from a city of about 900,000 to a city of 4.5 million. I've been in and out of that airport. It is surrounded now by the urban area of Kabul, shops, apartments, you name it, surround that particular airport. So if you want to fly a bunch of military people in there to take control of that, then you have to understand we are immediately going to be at direct war with the Taliban who control the city. Then the question has to be begged, how many more forces do you want to put in there? How many more casualties do you want to take? How many more Afghan civilians do you want to get killed as collateral damage? Do you really think any of the people who have not gotten to the airport are not going to be seized by the Taliban as hostages because you're now reinvading the country? I think that you could do that and make a statement, but I think the consequences could be pretty extraordinary.
Will we learn from our history here the past 20 years? We're coming up on the sad anniversary of 9/11, obviously, and these two things are linked. I don't think there's any question about that. Mm-hmm. And as far as nation building, whether you talk about Afghanistan and Iraq or whatever, just the messes that it's really do you think we'll learn from this that it just may be inconceivable to do these type of things?
God, I hope so. Back to your grandfather or whatever. I mean, I'm old enough to remember that movie, watching U.S. forces fly off the embassy in Saigon in 1975. So I kind of feel like I've seen this movie twice now. And those particular photographs of those helicopters in Saigon are now going to be juxtaposed against the C-17 taken off out of Kabul with the Afghans clinging to the wheels and falling to their deaths. Wow. Those two pictures are going to stick with us forever. And hopefully from this, as you suggest, we learn a little bit of humility in that trying to change a society, change a culture, move them into being a democracy and a market economy, which is what we attempted to do in Afghanistan, is just a task that's probably beyond our means. And the fundamental problem that we never were able to accomplish in Vietnam, to my mind, or in Afghanistan, was how do you create a government at the center of all this that will over time develop the allegiance not only of its military, but the allegiance of the population. Because don't forget, at the end of the day, the Taliban are Afghans. This is a home game for them, and we're foreigners. And if you talk to a Taliban soldier and you said, what are you fighting for? Man, what are you fighting for 20 years? His response, I think, would be, I'm fighting for two things. One, I'm trying to push foreigners out of my country, as my grandfather did pushing out the Soviets and my great-great-grandfather did pushing out the British. And the second thing I'm doing is I'm defending my religion, Islam. I'm defending Islam against the crusaders, in which that's what they described to us. And when we talked to the Taliban, and we talked to the Taliban before this, but informally, trust me, they used to say to us frequently, don't ever forget, you got the watches, but we got the time.
Wow. That really puts it in perspective. It honestly gave me chills when he looked at it, because I'm a history buff like a lot of people listening right now, and I think that really puts it all in perspective. And like you said, just brings back way too many memories for so many people listening right now. Dr. McCausland, thanks so much for your time. I really do appreciate it. You really enlightened me to a lot of different things, probably stuff that I didn't think of, and I think the listeners would say the same thing. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Take care.
You bet.